You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, April 4th, 10:01 a.m. in Los Angeles, California, where I'm coming at you live, if you're listening live. And I'm so happy to be here with you today. It is a wild, wild day. We're getting ready for the total eclipse of the heart, right? I mean, come on. I don't know why I made it sound like a furniture commercial just now instead of the turn around. Every now and then you need a brand new sofa and it's never coming back. Turn around. Isn't that upholstery getting just so dirty that it's starting to look black? Turn around. You see, they really should hire me to write commercials out of 80s pop slam hits, but that's not what we're doing today. This is the Aaron Carrera Show, and yes, indeed, I am Aaron Carrera, and we're getting ready for that total eclipse, are we not? And also, today is Maya Angelou's birthday, so I thought it would be fun to read a poem. I put this up on one of my on my TikTok so far, but I thought it'd be really awesome to read a Maya Angelou poem. It's called Phenomenal Woman. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model's size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman. That's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care. 'Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman. That's me. Oh, friends, I love her so much. That's Maya Angelou's poem, Phenomenal Woman. It's from her collection that has so many great ones, and Still I Rise. That's the name of the collection. Of course, that's the poem that makes me cry, which I didn't read, and Still I Rise. Sorry, it makes me cry just thinking about it. Copyright 1978, Maya Angelou, A Gift to This Planet. My goodness. And her birthday today. So happy birthday to Maya Angelou. Now, if y'all want to come on over and chat with me, we're just going to be talking today about the energy of the moment. And I'll be checking in on the chat room to see what you all have to say. And if you want to chat with us, you can come on over and chat with us on Facebook. So come on to 12radio.com and you'll see a little link that says chat with us on Facebook. And that will bring you to our Facebook group. And if you've never joined us there before, you just ask to join. We will let you right in. And you'll see, if you're listening live anyway, you'll see pinned to the top of the page my banner. And in the comments section below, that's where we check in and leave comments and say hello. And I see there's already a few people in there. Hi, good morning, Renee and Pamela. And let me just refresh my page because that was from a minute ago. But happy to see you all here. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So I just want to start by talking about some of the energy of this moment in time. Because the energy of this moment in time seems to be all over the place. I know a lot of people have been mentioning to me the Mercury retrograde. A lot of people have been dealing with just energy that's scattered, and it's very hard to be grounded, and especially for those of us who might be, I don't know, Pisces or signs of duality or sign people with not a lot of groundedness or earth in their chart, or people who are ADHD or ADHD curious. You know, I know that there's a lot of people who are being diagnosed because they're understanding differently, and or I don't know that it's an expansion of the diagnosis as much as it's a refinement of the diagnosis and how it's different in women. Because, I mean, I'm sure a lot you if you are down with the poem I just read, Phenomenal Woman, you're probably aware of the fact that, you know, a lot of medical studies were up until recently were done only on men. So, for example, a lot of the ADHD parameters were really mainly just for the male of the species, or and not necessarily for all genders. So they're just now starting to realize, like, oh, you know, maybe we should see if there are differences. I mean, certainly we know there are hormonal differences, so maybe we should check and see if there's other differences. So, for example, one of my friends, she's an ER doctor in Milwaukee, but she was part of this coalition of ER doctors who she was noticing for, she's middle-aged, and she was noticing from early on that women in car accidents suffered far more injuries and different injuries. Well, that's because the airbags and seatbelts were designed for men, and while some women and men are the same size, not all men are the same size, not all women are the same size. By and large, men are taller and a little bigger, and women are shorter and a little smaller. By the way, my friend who's the ER doctor, she herself is 6 feet tall. Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't apply to her, but she was seeing it again and again and again. She kept like seeing it, and so she joined this. A lot of doctors were seeing it, so they joined this coalition to say, you know, maybe you might want to do some tests on crash test dummies of varying sizes. Like, what? That's so crazy. Why would we do that? I don't know. To try to prevent deaths among all people. Or this is a funny one. I told my husband, he couldn't believe it. Apparently, but they never tested, you know, tampons, maxi pads, period stuff, right? They never tested that stuff with actual blood or blood-like substance until recently. They just tested it on water. Well, of course, water and blood are very different, and regular blood and period blood are totally different. Totally different, like viscosity and colors and thicknesses, and even period blood itself has differences, right? So it's like, wait a minute. All these years that like pads or tampons haven't worked for me, and I had to like go through boxes during my periods, and I thought it was just something wrong with me, and there's something weird about me. The way I said, no, because all of those products for women weren't tested on actual blood. What? And then another, here's another funny story. Funny, ironic, obviously. I didn't make this up. I watched this hilarious comedian. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. I must find her name so I can credit her. But she's hilarious, and she said they've determined that period cramps are as painful as a heart attack. She was like, so can you imagine if they were telling, I mean, I don't mean to make it always just about men, but it's like, you know, because of the discrepancy, right? Can you imagine if they were telling somebody with a heart attack, anybody having a heart attack, if somebody's having a heart attack and they are bleeding out of their orifices nonstop for like 4 to 7 days, can you imagine what they would, if they would say to that person, oh yeah, go ahead. You can go horseback riding. You can go swimming. Go play volleyball. Yeah, you can do it. That's what it says on the back of tampon boxes, right? Like with these tampons, you can go horseback riding, play volleyball, go swimming, and be just fine and secure. And of course, it's addressing a different issue, but it's hilarious to think about. Like, yeah, period cramp. When I told my husband period cramps were medically ascertained to be as painful as a heart attack, he sure changed his attitude around me. He's a wonderful guy, but you know, he kind of suddenly went, oh, really? Oh God, I okay. Wow, had no idea. Wow, okay, let's be different. So all right, so the energy is all over the place. April 8th, A total solar eclipse that will darken the skies over North America. I have a number of friends who are going to some of the places that are going to be in the map of the solar eclipse. I will not be. I didn't plan in advance very well. So I, unfortunately, I'll just be, you know, here in Los Angeles, California, experiencing Looney Tuneville in Looney Tuneville. But no, it's a scene that will be magical. It might seem ominous to some people, but to me, I think it's highly spiritual. I know that in the olden days, we would have seen this. Many people, I shouldn't say all, many people would have traditionally viewed a solar eclipse as a bad omen. But I wonder if this isn't just an opportunity to really lean into, you know, the change we want, to being the change we want to see in this world, right? It is a powerful time, highly energetic time, and good for healing the past, awakening our inner fire, awakening our inner, or reigniting some of our inner spirit, right? So that, and adding in the fact that this is going to be taking place in Aries, oh my goodness, right? So this is taking place in the sign of beginnings, fire beginnings, all of this energy of brand new beginnings. If you were to think about what you want to ignite in your soul. And I don't just mean like a regular old manifestation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you know how we often start with these manifestations that are like, what do you really want? It's like, well, I really want the perfect body and the perfect face. Look, I don't know why I'm making this Southern California accent, but bear with me. No, yeah, right? There's nothing wrong with those desires. Who doesn't want that? I believe Radiohead has a hit song about it that everybody sings, right? But like, what about something even more? Like, what is it that you think the perfect body, the perfect money, the perfect career, the perfect relationship is going to give you? What is it, really, deeply? What is it you think that's going to give you? What is it going to give you? I'm asking, like, really seriously. Because to me, when I ask myself, all right, I do want the perfect body. I do want the perfect face. I do want the perfect money. I want the perfect career. I want the perfect relationship. Okay. I also know I'm never going to have any of those things, right? I know that, like, I'm blessed and my life is amazing. I've got a great guy. I'm so lucky. I work really hard at that relationship. I know that I have gifts I'm blessed to be given and passions I'm blessed to follow. And I wonder if the need for it to look a certain way or fulfill a certain societal purpose or cultural purpose, or the idea that it's not enough as it is right now. I wonder if what I really need to ignite, what I really need to ignite is just a deep, complete, total love and acceptance of self and a belief that exactly as I am is how I was meant to be. And that pursuing life and grace and joy and justice and pursuing my life and my desires and my talents, that is it. That's it. That's the deal, right? That is the deal. Phenomenal woman. That's me, right? Phenomenal human. What if we took this and we just made it human, right? I mean, with all of my due respect and apologies to I'm just doing this for a point. Phenomenal human, right? Pretty people wonder where my secret lies because I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a human, phenomenally, phenomenal human. That's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please. And to a person, the people stand or fall down on their knees and they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet, because I'm a human, phenomenally, phenomenal human. That's me. Human themselves, people, they wonder what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, and I'm going to say it to you.
is in the arch of your back, the sun of your smile, the ride of your chest, the grace of your style, because you are a human, phenomenally, phenomenal human. That's you. That's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed, nor should yours be. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, and when you pass, it ought to make us proud. I say, it's in the click of my hands, heels, the bend of our hair, the palm of our hands, the need for our care, because we are humans, phenomenally, phenomenal humans. That's you, and that's me. So that's all of us, right? So it's not that, like, I think we shouldn't say, yeah, I'm manifesting the book that's going to change my life, the relationship that's going to change my life, right? But do you always know what's going to change your life? I don't think we do, you know? Like, so for example, Easter was over the weekend. And while many people celebrate Easter, many people celebrate Passover, many people don't celebrate Easter, many people celebrate Ostara, right? My husband and I went down to see my voice teacher. He lives, I say down because he lives in Laguna Beach. I'm from this place in Minnesota, right, where that central Minnesota is pretty far up north, and people all go to their cabins up north, right? And of course, there's a whole country north of Minnesota. But I remember I had this friend who was from Savannah, Georgia. He was living in Minneapolis, and he's like, what the heck is with this up north? Y'all already up north. Everyone's going up north for the weekend. I don't get it. Y'all are already up north. This is up north. Y'all are up north. And I was like, I know. But we can go further north. Well, I kind of am laughing that I'm here in Southern California and I'm talking about going down south. Because, of course, there's all of Baja all the way down. And then, of course, all of South America. But we went, so for Easter, we went down south to see my voice teacher for Easter and celebrate with him. And I just want to comment. There's a comment in the chat room. Pamela was recently diagnosed with ADHD, she says. And better late than never, and explains a lot. Yeah, same here. Explains so much. My brain has always gone a million miles a minute. I can't smoke weed because it makes my brain go even faster. I quit coffee and my brain went faster. So when I used to drink coffee, my brain would actually slow down a little. I quit it for other reasons. And then I decided to try it again. I didn't like it. It was really weird. Like when I do caffeine regularly, my brain is slower. My brain goes so fast, and I'm so grateful for the many years I've meditated, because I can just put a hand on my lower belly and a hand on my heart and get grounded. But let me tell you, it explains so much of my life, all the accidents, all the terrible boyfriends, all of the people pleasing, all the ways that I always have done 50 million things all at once. And like, if I don't, my brain is crazy. When I have to do mundane tasks, I count Fibonacci sequences. Or I play mind games. I know that sounds crazy, but like, so for example, they're very complex now because I'm middle-aged and I've been doing it forever. So like if I have to, like when I'm cleaning the house or trying to like brush my teeth, I have a weird Fibonacci sequence game that I play. Okay, so the Fibonacci sequence is a number added to itself and then that number added to the next consequential number, right? So it's 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. 21, 34, right? You get it, right? So then it keeps going on and on and on. And I play this weird game where I either count things in the Fibonacci sequence or I name cities in the Fibonacci sequence. So for example, Austin, 1, Baltimore, 1. And then for C, I have to do two cities that start with C, right? So Chaska, which is a city in Minnesota, Chanhassen, another city in Minnesota where Prince's Paisley Park is, right? And so then I need to do three cities start with the letter D. Duluth, right? I'm like Des Moines, Des Plaines, right? You see, it's so dumb, but it's just the way I would keep my brain occupied. It's nuts. As an adult and as a middle-aged woman, I work really hard in grounding myself and coming back to the original point, which is, I'm weaving this all back to the point, right? Because the point is, what is it that we want to ignite as an inner fire in our souls? And how do we know? Because I say, when we say we want to become a world famous pop singer, I wanted that my whole life. And I haven't gotten it yet. I wanted to be a world famous novelist. Well, I am publishing a novel, but you know, who knows? The world famous part, who knows? world famous movie star. I wanted to be not just a movie star. I wanted to be Meg Ryan. And I wanted always wanted to be all these things. I wanted to be Meg Ryan. I wanted to be a rom-com queen. Well, I'm over 40 now. And while I could still be an actress in rom-coms, I'm not going to be the version I thought I would be in my 20s and 30s, right? It's just, it's a different story. Diane Lane in Under the Tuscan Sun, yes, please. Or If That Never Happens, or whatever, right? All these things I always wanted to be in my whole life has just gone the way it's gone, and it's gone amazingly, but also not the way I thought, not the way I wanted. But whatever we think these things are going to give us, what I really think it is I really think it's about a doorway to the divine through the heart. A desire is placed in your mind, your third eye. It's placed in your heart. It's there to help you align your chakras. And I'm going to speak specifically now about singing. So I've been a singer all my life. In order to sing, especially to sing opera, right? I went down Sunday and Tuesday to work with my voice teacher to work on a classical pop version of the Italian national anthem for reasons I'll tell you later. In order to really sing greatly, you have to be fully in your body. Ideally, you're not gripping anywhere. A lot of modern day singers aren't fully in their bodies. They push way too much air through their vocal folds. They're going to give themselves vocal nodes. I know I sound like an old asshole, and maybe I am one. And there's a way to do it all healthfully, but also, you know, there's a way to do it not healthfully. I have bad habits. I grip. When I breathe, I grip at the back of my neck. It's a bad habit that I really want to work on undoing. Why is that a bad habit? Because it gives me less oxygen, forces me to muscle through some of the notes that I should just really sing on the breath. Anyway, so as a singer, you think singing is going to be about the glory of you as a diva or whatever you think it's going to be about. And it turns out to be a portal to the divine in so many ways. So we were down Sunday at Easter with my voice teacher, and I haven't seen him in almost a year because we've just been two ships passing in the night. It's a long trip to go down to see him. He's been traveling a lot. I've been busy traveling a lot. So we did this coaching. And Gary always says, whatever's happening in singing is what's happening in life. Interesting, right? Gripping. When I breathe, my most dysfunctional habit as a singer right now is gripping the back of my neck when I'm breathing in. And isn't that just a metaphor for life? Like, how am I gripping? How am I not relaxed when I'm taking in oxygen? How am I not relaxed when I'm taking in life? Especially someone with a brain whose brain goes a billion miles a minute, unless I very consciously get in my body like you have to when singing. Like you have to when being present to somebody calling you on one to listen. Like I choose to practice when talking to my husband. Because trust me, when my husband's talking to me about the same thing that he talks about a lot, my brain wants to go to the Fibonacci sequence games, but that's not fair to my relationship. Therefore, it's not fair to him. Therefore, it's not fair to me. So it takes a discipline, right, to relax. A discipline to relax into my body, into my spirit. And what a gift. What a gift. Because my natural way of being is not grounded or relaxed. That's something I cultivated in my life. Now, very grounded, very relaxed as a practice, not as a way of life. I wake up and I'm like, boom, ready to go. But that can create obstacles in a different way, create other problems, right? So I wake up and I check in, like, is there a reason I'm in panic? Is there a reason my life force is so strong? Simply out of habit, simply out of my natural way of being? Do I want to get up right away or do I want to meditate a little? Do I want to just check in on my neck and my shoulders, right? I have trained myself to do this. It's not my natural way. When I met Gary, which interestingly is exactly the time I met my husband, I met them at the same time. And I was thinking on Sunday how these are, aside from my father, these are the two most important men in my life. And my two favorite men. Now, there are other very important men in my life. Of course there are. You know, my brother-in-law, Mark here at Want to Listen, has created a whole life, a whole way of being of service and making a living and having a life here. And I'm grateful for that too. But the two most important men in my day-to-day life and in my life, to me, that I love the most are Gary and Carlo. And I was thinking, you know, you think you're going to go to this voice teacher. When I met him, I thought I was just going for a coaching with my girlfriend, Carrie, my friend. If any of you who are friends of mine on social media know, it's my friend who's missing. Say a prayer for her, wherever she may be. She introduced me to Gary because we were in an acting class together and we were doing a scene from Les Misérables. And she was Cosette and I was Eponine, of course. Typecast. Well, these days I'd be Madame Thénardier. Actually, I would be Fantine, would be my casting. But who I'd want to play would be Madame Thénardier, you know, in the movie version of Helena Bonham Carter, the fun one. I want to be the fun one. But we were doing a coaching. And I thought I was just going in to support Carrie and honestly to get a free coaching because she was paying for it. I walked in and my heart jumped and I was like, oh, this man is somebody special to me. This man is important in my life. And I didn't know how, and it wasn't necessarily romantic. In fact, it wasn't romantic in the long run because it just, for a variety of reasons, including all kinds of things. But like, I just saw him and I was like, oh no, this is it was like I saw my heart open right up in a way that's happened to me only a few times in my life. My best girlfriend, when I was 5 years old, I walked into kindergarten, I looked across the room, I saw her, my heart went boom, and I felt a kick in my stomach, and I walked up to her and I said, are you my best friend? She looked at me and she nodded yes. And we were best friends forever after until we grew apart, but like all through childhood. And I still consider her my best friend of childhood and one of my favorite people in the world and one of the people in the world I love the most. I don't know why. Past life stuff, maybe. This life stuff, maybe. Soul contract stuff, maybe. So I walk in, I see Gary and I'm like, oh. And I start working with him regularly, and it changes my life. First, changes my voice, changes the way I sing, teaches me things no other voice teachers ever taught me. And I, no shade on those other voice teachers, just, I don't know why, he's special. He's special. Gary teaches you your voice, first of all. A lot of voice teachers teach what they do and what they've learned, and that's cool. But Gary's somehow this genius. This isn't supposed to be an episode about Gary. I'm just saying, like, he teaches you your voice. And ever since I started learning my voice from him, what I've actually sought as a psychic is to be of service to the person, not to do Aaron's version of events. Of course, I can't help but be in the mix. I'm me. It's my channel when I'm working. But I also seek to be of channel service to your channel, right? And I think about how changing my voice and my approach to my voice and my body changes my whole approach to my life. And this is a metaphor, the microcosm for the macrocosm of what is it that you want to manifest? Because it isn't about just that one thing. It never is. Because that's just not how the world works. That's not how your body works. Your body works as a system. The voice is not just the vocal folds and air. It's also the resonant mechanism of your cheekbones and your skull and the way you move your tongue and your jaw and your teeth and the way Freddie Mercury had that extra set of teeth that made him so capable of doing all those crazy things and having the double voice. He had that great overbite. I unfortunately have a slight underbite and my teeth meet in the middle with a slight underbite. I wish I had his overbite. I've many times considered breaking my jaw, having it professionally done, to get that overbite because I'm like, oh my God, what could I do if I had an overbite? Crazy, right? I won't do it. But I don't know. Like, but the singing voice is also your diaphragm and your stomach and your abdominal muscles, right? So many things. So when you think you're manifesting one thing, you're actually changing the entirety of your life. So we're going to get into a little bit of how to use this eclipse now to manifest the one thing and your life. But we're going to take a quick break first, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. So come on back. Okay, and we're back. All right, everybody. So I hear we were having a little broadcast issue. So you all, thank you for letting us know in the chat room. I really appreciate it because, you know, I'm just sitting here, the channel is starting to flow. So please let us know if you can hear me and if it's working out this time around. And we'll just get back to talking about manifesting and how, when we are manifesting, how we can use our whole, how it's going to change our whole lives and how we can use our whole lives also to manifest, right? Because it's a Brahman breath in, Brahman breath out. It's the micro to the macro and the macro to the micro, right? So you go to a voice teacher, you think it's going to change your voice and you change your life. I went to an Italian lesson and I thought it was going to be for singing and I ended up meeting my husband. So, you know, you never know when what you're, and how that has changed my life, right? I wanted to manifest an amazing relationship my whole life. And I did so much work on myself with love and relationships, especially because I definitely was a limerence addict and I kept attracting either people with whom I was in limerence or people who were in limerence with me. And it kept getting crazier and crazier around these parts, right? I mean, you all know, I've talked on this show about some of my difficult relationships and the stalker. And I mean, I still sometimes get messages from people that I'm like, you know, whatever you're in love with, I mean, I don't think it's me anymore because I haven't seen you in years. I've been with my husband 12 years, right? I haven't seen this person I'm thinking of anyway in years. And I am flattered. However, I sincerely believe, for example, this person who was texting me pictures from when we were dating just the other day. I mean, we were dating years and years ago. He texted me pictures. I'm flattered, but I'm also thinking to myself, whatever it is that this is for you, it's not about us being in relationship now. This is something else. I thought I had done all this work on myself. I wanted a relationship. It was when I really I did all the work and then I let go. And then I met my husband. It happened after I let go. It's not that I didn't do the work. I did. And I'm so glad I did the work because otherwise I never would have been able to hang in there with him because he's wonderful and great and amazing in so many ways. And I would love to brag about him. But that I had done the work on my self-esteem, my sense of self, my relationship skills, not being needy, not needing somebody to be either in limerence or me have limerence, not needing it to be some dramatic 19th century novel of a story, but just being in relationship with somebody on a day-to-day basis, which isn't always glamorous or romantic, except sometimes it's really wonderful. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just plain old work, right? But I thought a relationship would just be constant orgasms of the heart, right? Constant orgasms, period. Constant orgasms of the mind, of the chemical kind, right? And instead, what it was a reason to be so deeply connected to somebody that because I am so loyal and committed, I must grow and so must he for us to stay together. In addition to the fun and in addition to the romance, all of that stuff. Now, I understand that there is still a problem with the broadcaster, but I'm going to keep talking and we'll do a recording of this. So if you're catching this live, please come back later. We're going to record the end of the show and then we can have you can listen in the archives. So my apologies to all of you out there. If you can hear me, I do apologize for whatever issue is going on technically. I think little Mercury retrograde is trying to say, oh, you think you're above Mercury retrograde? No, I don't. I don't think I'm above Mercury retrograde. I just hadn't noticed it was Mercury retrograde until right this moment. Oh, the whims of the universe. What can we say? But yes, I'm going to continue speaking and continue talking about manifesting and how to use this eclipse. And then we'll have it in the archive and you can listen to it in the archive. So thanks so much for trying if you've been listening live, and thanks for hanging in. And if you're listening to the recording, hopefully it's all just juicy and good. So whatever it is that we want to manifest for this eclipse, right? We're going to use this eclipse to reignite a fire in our souls. I, for one, am using the eclipse to reignite the fire of purpose. Because right now the energy is so crazy out there in the world, and so crazy in my mind, and so crazy, period. It's easy to get caught up in, oh God, what if this, what if that, what if this geopolitical thing, what if this global problem, what if that, all of that. And I'm not saying we should hide our heads in the sand or ignore what's right in front of us. But I am saying the world has always been thus. And we can't just say, oh, you know, the Generation Z, they're going to solve the problems for us because they're brilliant and the rest of us are dummies. I've literally heard so many adults say that. And I'm like, do you know how much pressure these kids are already under? Stop it. If you have breath in your body and blood in your veins, you too can be a part of a solution. Am I, Erin Carrera, sitting in my office in Los Angeles, California, going to solve the problem of what's happening, for example, in the Middle East? Of course not. Can I pray and be of service to what's in front of me? Yes. Can I stand up for love wherever I am able? Yes. Can I do what is in my arena and according to my own heart, according to my own calling, to be of service to love? Surely I can. When I get caught up in nihilism or depression or all of my, you know, navel gazing problems or all of my worries for people, can I be reignited by the fire of being alive, by the spirit that lives in me, that lives in you? Can I be reignited by this eclipse to my purpose? And not just my purpose of like being of service on One to Listen, or my purpose of singing, or my purpose of being married to this guy that I'm married to, right? Those are like the various recipes and genres and milieus in which I'm of service and on purpose. The purpose is a done deal. The purpose is I am here. I am. The purpose is in the breath. The purpose is in the movement. The purpose is in the non-movement. The purpose is in the moment. The purpose is in the meeting of intention and action. The purpose is in the meeting of intention, action, shadow, unintention, non-action, awareness, unawareness. You see, the purpose is in the system. The purpose is in the wholeness, the ontological me, the phenomenal me, phenomenal human. That's me, right? That's it. So it's sort of like, in a way, what I'm saying is, yeah, we can distract ourselves all we want, or we can focus ourselves on manifesting and using this energy. But I think actually this solar eclipse is meant for something very deep and very pure and very powerful. And that is to go into that fire. Remember, we've done those heart meditations here? Hand on heart. Just take a deep breath in. And feel that heartbeat just for a second. If you can put both hands on your heart and just feel that heartbeat. Mine is beating really strongly right now. It's not fast. It's a little fast, but it's strong, right? Something is just making that heart powerful. And I feel it as I speak. I feel my voice resonating in my chest all around my heart. Now, if you are able to close your eyes and just feel the beat of that heart, and I want you to see the smile of your heart, and you see that smile of your heart growing bigger and bigger and bigger until it is the size of a house, and the smile of your heart becomes a doorway, and you can walk right into your heart. And I want you, if you can, to do this on the eclipse, unless you already have plans. I want you to walk into the doorway of your heart, and there you see that fire, that eternal flame, the eternal flame of the divine that has was there before you were even conceived of. That flame always existed. And then that flame, it's like the pilot light that lit your flame. And that, thus that when your heart formed, and then from the heart came the tongue, and then came all of the parts of you. And when you were born and came into this body, that heart that began to beat, that heart has with it the eternal flame. That eternal flame, we're just going to juice it up with this eclipse, right? We're going to juice up the flame of your heart on purpose. It's already lit. It's always lit because it's part of the eternal divine. But you are going to approach your heart and you're going to say, I'm using this solar eclipse to juice up this flame, baby. I'm going to juice it up, man. Juice it up. Juice it up, baby. And you see it glowing brighter, all the colors of the rainbow, all the colors of the universe, colors you didn't even know existed, are all contained in this flame. It is burning so bright. And now you can come to this flame if you choose as an altar, and you can say, look, in my life right now, in 2024, in April, on planet Earth, there are things that I so humbly desire, and I am willing to ask and sacrifice for, and I'm willing to create for, and I'm willing to surrender unto, because I feel that my destiny is calling this thing forth from me so that I can become more fully the me that I'm meant to be, the phenomenal human I am, phenomenal human that's me, right? You could say, dear heart, dear connection to the divine source, dear flame ignited by the solar eclipse, here's what I am manifesting right now in my life. And you can name it and claim it. I claim this in my career. I claim this in my health. I claim this in my relationships. I claim this in the divine relationship. I claim a deeper connection to you, O divine, to feel the beauty and the warmth of you, O divine, to connect. And maybe you want to connect to your angels, connect to your guides, connect to the divine. Maybe you want to be of service. Maybe you want to start a new career, start a new chapter. Maybe you are, whatever it is, claim it. And you give it to that flame that is yours, your piece of the divine, your channel from the divine, breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out, the microcosm to the macrocosm. And you are handing it over and surrendering it to the altar of your own heart. Your own heart connected to the divine beating heart. That is what you are igniting. You are igniting yourself. You are igniting your life. You are igniting your purpose. You are igniting anything you may have forgotten, anything you may need now, anything you didn't have before that you need now. You are igniting that now. Now. That is what this eclipse is for. And so it is. And maybe you take a moment with your heart, a moment for gratitude, a moment for not forgetting anything that you may have forgotten. Your heart always has it all. So that anything that you did let go of, anything that you did leave in the past, you can mourn it or grieve it, but you don't have to because it lives forever in your heart. So when you are moving forward now, as we move forward out of this eclipse into a whole brand new world, it's going to be a whole brand new world. Now, is it going to be completely different? It may be. Are you ready for that? Is it going to be a difference that you see immediately? Maybe. Is it going to be a difference that you see over years, 12 years, right? Maybe. And if you say, Aaron, I don't have 12 years. Sure you do. You've got all the time. I'll tell you, whatever time it takes is the time you need. I promise you that. It just is. I thought I was going to get married so much younger than I did. And I could have. I could have. But I wasn't ready. I feel that if I had gotten married younger, I probably would have gotten divorced. And there's nothing wrong with that either. That would have been the natural course for those relationships. That would have been the way my life went, and I would have been good with that. I just never did. I gotta tell you, though, I am so grateful that I did get married when I did. And I don't think marriage is for everyone. Like, I'm not sure I would ever do it again. I don't know. Who can say? I don't know. I hope I don't have to, right? I'm here with my ride or die. You know what I'm saying? But like, I feel like I'm so grateful I did the work I did. Because what else are you doing with your life? So whether you're doing the work ahead of time, you're doing the work in process, or maybe you're doing the work after the fact, that's great. That is beautiful. That is life. That is what we are here for. That is what you are here for. So I do want to read. It is Maya Angelou's birthday. And in honor of the solar eclipse, in honor of her birthday, in honor of everything we're talking about right now, how to use this eclipse and all of my little ADHD parallels and random universes that I bring up, they show up in the channel because I'm using them as examples. I feel very strongly that Spirit wants me to read to you, Still I Rise. So hold on, let me turn to that page. Still I Rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes? Shoulders falling down like teardrops weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. I do understand, and I want to acknowledge that I am a white woman reading this poem. And there is a different energy and profoundness of this poem coming from different voices. But Channel said to read it, so I did. And I love Maya Angelou. She is a voice for all women in so many ways, all people in so many ways. And I think that in some ways, Maya Angelou and her poetry is so brilliant because it opens a portal to the divine reclamation for all of us. And so respectfully, I love her and want to say happy birthday. I think she's so important to our lives. And poetry, I know not everybody likes poetry, and I know poetry isn't for everybody. But I actually disagree with everything I just said. I think poetry is for everybody. And I think that poetry goes to these places that we, with our normal everyday vernacular and our everyday speech and even prose, cannot go. I think that's often why we love music so much. You know, we spent a lot of the weekend listening to Beyonce's new album. This is what I think Beyonce or Taylor Swift, or for many people, it's the Beatles, John Lennon. For many people, it's, you know, think of all the great songwriters that you love. Or you could even go back to the old Great American Songbook, right? Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Think about some of those great songs from the 40s and 50s, right? Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I worship, all I long for and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, darling, I love you. Right? Like that's kind of in the middle of a poem and prose, but these are the things that you can say in song and feel in song. And that song comes on and you get that feeling that you can't do in regular life. Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Anyway, I was talking about the eclipse and I ended up on Frank Sinatra. How did that happen? Listen. The eclipse this weekend, or Monday, it's this Monday. This is an opportunity for you. This is an opportunity for you. And leading up, if you're listening to this episode, before leading up to the eclipse, I really urge you to think deeply about what it is that you are manifesting, what it is that you think that's going to give you in your life, and what's underneath all of that. What is deeper than that? Partially because, A, if you can give yourself what's underneath all of that, it's so easy to manifest anything. It's like a little manifesting, oh, I'm going to use the word I hate, hack. It's a manifesting hack. Oh, gross. But it is. But also because you start manifesting things. You get used to manifesting a lot. I think you realize that it's stops being about the things, right? Stops being about the things you're manifesting. Stops being about, like, necessarily, oh, the relationship or the home. Or sometimes it is about the relationship. Sometimes it is about the home. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like, no, it's about who am I being? How is my ego getting in the way? Right? How do you know when your ego's, how do you know when something is, the ego is getting away? Resistance, right? You resist. You resist. Now, resistance in and of itself isn't bad. That is how we grow, right? How is a baby born? It pushes up against the mother's womb, and that resistance and gravity forces the baby out, right? How does a tree grow from a seed? That seed, there's a resistance from the earth against the seed and all of the different nutrients and the water and the soil, and it can feel the heat of the sun up above. And I'm using the word feel in a human way, but I actually mean it in a plant way. And that resistance creates a push, and a sprout comes forth from that seed. And then that sprout continues to desire the sun and feel the resistance from down below. And that resistance and that pressure up and that pressure down, and that desire, right? The desire and the resistance. That is growth. It's when we have the resistance and then we react negatively and we try to control, or we go to a coping mechanism, or if you're a people pleaser, you try to people please. That's when you know maybe the ego is getting involved, and instead you have other options. You can observe. You can surrender. You can put up an appropriate boundary. You can nurture something, hopefully in a healthy way. Hopefully you nurture healthy resistance via boundaries. Hopefully you do not nurture unhealthy resistance via, you know, the need to be right or controlling or manipulation or narcissism or violence, right? But underneath all of that, you know, we're talking about the very core essence of being alive. And sometimes that is really the beauty of it all. So I urge you for the solar eclipse to prepare in this manner so that when you are ready to let your fire be so ignited, you are ready. All right, my friends. Well, we've come to the end of another episode of the Erin Carrera Show. And I thank you for listening. And I will see you all next week. Bye.